That was really good. One of the things I love about listening to Glenn is the little nuggets that are kind of in his talk. How much a loving God has to risk to give us free will. That's an incredible quote. I appreciate that. Okay, we're going to open up the floor for questions. And again, same rules as we noted. But if you have a question, please raise your hand, brethren, and we will begin. Clint DeFrance.
Thanks very much. That was very good. And I sort of realized in my own teaching on this subject that I have not given enough attention to how God uses pain and suffering for his good purposes. So I really appreciate the emphasis you put on that. When you say that not all suffering comes from sin, does that mean that not all suffering comes from personal sin? Because I have understood Romans 5 and 12 to teach that if it wasn't for sin, then suffering would not even be a factor in the world. Is that an incorrect statement?
No, that is a correct statement. But I guess my response would be to that initially that's how death and suffering came in. We came into a broken world in that sense. But today, what most people question about God is moral and ethical evil. And that is basically what I was talking about.
Very good. So Job shows that you can suffer even if you're not personally guilty. And sometimes
exactly.
It is because God has an intention
right.
for your good.
Even though we don't know it. The secret things belong to God. That man who was blind, no one knew until Jesus said it about what his purpose was when he was blind. But yes. And by the way, let me, two things right here. Number one, Brad Shockley, did you say five lessons?
Four.
It just seems like five. No, four. Five. No, I'm just. Brad Shockley has an excellent series. And if you get a chance to listen to his series on the problem of evil, it is extremely good. He deals a lot more with a lot more scriptures than I did with talking about those principles that are found in the old law. And by the way, if I started quoting Psalms, we'd be here all day. Psalms talks a lot about this issue, about trusting God in the face of what's happening in this world. I encourage you, if you're having issues, read Psalms. But just Brad Shockley, I'm sorry, and one other thing. Clint DeFrance made me aware of this book, and I have had time to read it, but I have not had time to digest it. This is The God Who Risks, and I don't want to take personal, that wasn't my idea. This came from A God Who Risks, The Theology of Providence by John Sanders. Excellent book, which talks not only about free will, but talks a lot about God and the nature of the world in which we live being the best possible world for a free will creature. So if you want more information on that, he deals with it very well in this book.
Richard Bonner.
Enjoyed it very much, Glenn. And as you pointed out, there's many scriptures that could be touched on to show why we have pain and suffering. I don't think you brought up Hebrews 12, but in that passage, the writer says that pain shows the love of God.
Yeah, as a father.
What
yes. son is there whom the father does not discipline?
And he points out that it produces within us righteousness.
Exactly.
And so good does come from pain and suffering, and it shows it. Proves the very existence of God in that it's the way that he disciplines us.
Also, if you're interested in this topic, I encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 4 and 5, where it talks about why Jesus became flesh, why he came into this world. He says he suffered in all things as we are, yet without sin. That's the whole point. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and it's because Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. So that read Hebrews chapter 4 and 5 as well as Hebrews 12.
One suggestion I would have, and you can just take this for what it's worth, is I would avoid saying that death is not evil because of 1 Corinthians 15, where he says, verse 25, for he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Mm-hmm. Jesus' reign continues until death is destroyed, and until that time he is an enemy. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has conquered in a sense. I think the way you explained that, a lot of it was good. That might...
No, there's two passages. There's also Revelation 20.
Yes, yeah. And then also in 1 Corinthians 15, and right at the end, verse 54, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Mm-hmm. We have a hope that death will be conquered, but mm-hmm. it becomes effective at the resurrection. And so right. until that point, death is still evil and is still our enemy, but we know he will be conquered. It will be conquered. And so I think the way you explained it was basically right. I would just think.
I appreciate
it. It might be helpful to people to not misunderstand, so they don't misunderstand that we're saying, they don't just, so we don't give the wrong impression to the Lord.
Right.
Just something to think about.
Well, no, I appreciate what you said. The focus is the different perspective of death from someone who is not a Christian to someone who is a Christian, because in Philippians, whenever Paul was speaking, he said to die is gain. So is he he's not contradicting, and this is where you and I, we're both trying to explain the way that contradiction does not exist. And the fact of the matter is the sting of death is sin. Sin is the problem with death, and that's the problem. So yes, I appreciate what you said. I thank you for that too, by the way.
Anyone else?
In reality, I was overwhelmed, and that's why I boiled it down to three ways that we can talk about it. Since the focus of this topic was supposed to be apologetics, I wanted to give us some way to discuss the problem of evil, sin, and death with those out in the world. And to when you're talking, as this discourse we've just had, when you're talking with others and giving an answer for the hope that lies within you, 1 Peter 3:15, that hope comes because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is where we overcome a lot of the hopelessness and the emptiness and hollowness of atheism and agnosticism is in our view of hope and the Christian blessings, redemption and all of the blessings that we have left for us. So it is in that way, I believe, that it leads us to be evangelistic, in that we can give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We can give a reason for the hope that we possess as Christians. And my friends, we've begun selling a form of a better life, a better physical life, and say, if you're a Christian, you'll eat the right things and you'll live, and then you die. And we forget to tell them that the essence of Christianity is the nature of our hope as a resurrection unto eternity and being pleasing with God. Put the resurrection back into our evangelism. Get it back there, and it'll deal with the problem of evil.